This is because Peronism has been considered dead or politically overcome many times. Some did so after the 1955 coup d'etat when Perón went into exile. For all those years, however, Peronism was the latent force in Argentine politics. When Perón died in 1974, the movement, which at the time was deeply fractured between a then-persecuted leftist sector and a fascistic right wing that had taken control of the government under Perón's widow Isabel and the sinister José López Rega, was also left for dead. The 1976 coup d'etat seemed to bury Peronism once again, especially its militant wing. The return to democracy saw Peronism defeated in the 1983 presidential elections when the member of the Radical Party, Raúl Alfonsín, triumphed. When in 1989 Peronism acquired a neoliberal face with Carlos Menem, it seemed to mark the end of the era of Peronism as a transforming force. But the crisis of 2001 will return Peronism to its popular roots with the Kirchners. It is this Peronism aligned with the popular sectors, although not exempt of contradictions, which must now face the onslaught of a right wing that is moving aggressively in all fronts to regain ground and reinstate and deepen the neoliberal model. That is why the reflection that Peronism and the government of Alberto Fernández and Cristina Fernández must make now is how to engage again the great mass of popular sectors, many of them informal and precarious workers, when not directly unemployed, so that they don't allow themselves to be cajoled by the promises of the right wing. The return of Mauricio Macri or of any of the figures of the front called Together for Change, which unites the wide range of sectors of the Argentina right wing, from the old oligarchy to the new class of financial speculators, will be the worst thing for the Argentine people. But for this not to happen, the Peronist government must also take measures that effectively contribute to transfer wealth from the extremely wealthy minority that otherwise takes its profits out of Argentina to the lower income sectors, today pushed more and more into poverty. The government must demonstrate with deeds between now and 2023 that it intends to carry out a program that will benefit the workers and that it will not appease the oligarchy. Good day.
Al son de tus palmeras, mi primer amor. Baje tus calles más afuera a ver el sol. Conocemos demasiado bien. Lo nuestro es un idioma muy a flor de piel. El llanto de las zarpas llenas de arrebol. El llanto de tu gente que te habla de amor. Latinoamericano soy, moriré. Será porque a mi gente yo le tengo fe. Navego en tus bahías llenas de esplendor. Me lleva los vientos de tu corazón. Yo como tu cerro soy hermano del invierno, del verano, de la rosa y el clavel. Vuelo como el ave hacia la cumbre, me enamoran tus costumbres y el amor de una mujer. Latinoamericano soy y moriré. Será porque a mi gente yo le tengo fe. Navego en tus bahías llenas de esplendor y me llevan los vientos de tu corazón. Latinoamericano soy y moriré. Será porque a mi gente yo le tengo fe.
con tus bahías llenas de esplendor. Y me llevan los vientos de tu corazón. Latinoamericano soy y moriré. Será porque a mi gente yo le tengo fe. Navego en tus bahías llenas de esplendor. Y me llevan los vientos de tu corazón.
Negar la luz de tu mirada, también podrás negar ese calor que ayer me diste, pero jamás impedirás que aún te ame como ayer y que al oír tu nombre sin querer me duela el corazón. Pero jamás impedirás que aún te ame como ayer y que al oír tu nombre sin querer me duela el corazón. Y aquí en este rincón yo miraré atardecer mi vida sin tu amor, sin la fuerza que a diario me impulsó a luchar y a soñar. Si me fallaste tú, ¿y en quién creer? ¿Ya para qué empezar de nuevo amar? Si siempre tendría miedo a tropezar con otro como tú. Y aquí en este rincón yo miraré atardecer mi vida sin tu amor, sin la fuerza que a diario me impulsó a luchar y a soñar. Si me fallaste tú, ¿y en quién creer? ¿Ya para qué empezar de nuevo a amar si siempre tendría miedo a tropezar con otro como tú? Y aquí en este rincón yo miraré atardecer mi vida sin tu amor, sin la fuerza que a diario me impulsó a luchar y a soñar. Si me fallaste tú, ¿y en quién creer? ¿Ya para qué empezar de nuevo a amar? Si siempre tendría miedo a tropezar con otro como tú. Y aquí en este rincón yo miraré atardecer mi vida sin tu amor, sin la fuerza que a diario me impulsó a luchar y a soñar. Si me fallaste tú, ¿y en quién creer? ¿Ya para qué empezar de nuevo a amar? Si siempre tendría miedo a tropezar con otro como tú.
Hoy de nuevo la casa se viste de negro, las cortinas se cierran en signo de duelo, una vieja tinaja han hecho de florero, antes guardaba chicho y un adiós postrero. Ya se escucha el lamento y la voz lastimera de una mujer de negro que nadie conoce. Ella es la que más llora, ella es la que más sufre. Solo el dueño de casa sabe que es plañidera. Y el café más amargo que ayer, y empezaron a beber. Un violín en el otro salón entona triste una canción. La plañidera, la plañidera, que sus lágrimas vendió. La plañidera, la plañidera, llora quien no conoció. Ningún lazo le une con el que ya se ha muerto, mas se queja y la añora como ningún pariente. Ha llegado a la puerta el carrito mortuorio, y a los hombres no beben el fuerte aguardiente. Titubeando caminan hacia el camposanto, se persignan y rezan nuestro Padre Nuestro. Una cruz de madera toda mal tallada es la forma callada de un humilde gesto. El sepelio ha llegado a su fase final, ya los deudos se van cada cual a su hogar. Los ojos maltratados cual marchita flor es el saldo que deja el hondo dolor. Y el café más amargo que ayer ya dejaron de beber. El violín en el otro salón ya no entona su canción. La plañidera que sus lágrimas vendió. La plañidera lloró a quien no conoció.
Bien, y ahora vamos al fichero latino de hoy, 21 de noviembre del 2021. En los eventos, el Consulado General de la República Argentina en Montreal les invita a visitar la exposición Stereotipia, que estará abierta hasta el 28 de noviembre y donde participa la artista argentina Nora College. Esto es en el Centro Cultural y Comunitario Henri Lemieux, en el 7644 Rue Édouard, en La Salle. El Consulado General de Chile en Montreal informa que hoy, domingo 21 de noviembre, tendrán lugar las elecciones presidenciales y los chilenos del exterior que estén inscritos para votar podrán hacerlo en el Marché Bon Secours, situado en el 350 Saint Paul Este, en el Viejo Montreal. El horario de votación es desde las 8 de la mañana hasta las 18 horas, 6 de la tarde. Para votar se debe mostrar cédula de identidad o pasaporte chileno, mascarilla y distanciamiento social tal que prescrito por las autoridades debe mantenerse en todo tiempo. Lanzamiento de las ediciones francesa e inglesa del libro Presencia chilena en la Belle Provence, Présence chilienne dans la Belle Provence, Chilean Presence in la Belle Provence, jueves 25 de noviembre a las 19 horas en el local de la Maison d'Haïti, ubicado en el 3245 Avenida Émile Junot, en el sector de Saint-Michel. Yendo por transporte público, tomar el metro y bajar en la estación Saint-Michel y tomar el bus 67 en dirección norte. Este evento será seguido de una recepción. En cumplimiento con directivas del gobierno de Quebec, prueba de vacunación será requerida. En todo caso, aprovechamos de invitar a todos nuestros amigos oyentes a que asistan a este lanzamiento este jueves 25 de noviembre a las 19 horas, entonces, en el 3245 Avenida Émile Junot. Ahí nos estaremos viendo. Otros anuncios ahora de interés público. A la comunidad peruana en Quebec, del 1 de noviembre de 2021 al 31 de enero del 2022, se llevará a cabo la segunda encuesta mundial a la comunidad peruana en el exterior 2021, organizada por el Ministerio de Relaciones Exteriores del Perú y el Instituto Nacional de Estadísticas e Informática, INEI, en un esfuerzo conjunto de las entidades públicas para trabajar en los planes, programas y servicios orientados a beneficiar a las comunidades peruanas en el exterior. Para el caso del Consulado General del Perú en Montreal, se ha establecido la cuota muestral de 199 encuestas completadas como mínimo, al haberse tomado como fuente la base de datos del RENIEC de la comunidad peruana residente dentro de la jurisdicción de Montreal. Y para llenar la encuesta, pues abra el enlace, regístrese y responda las preguntas. Ir a https://encuesta.inei.gov.p/peruanos-en-el-mundo-2021/public/ o comuníquese con el consulado para tener más información. Y la dosis de refuerzo de la vacuna contra el COVID-19. A partir ya del martes, ya pasado, el martes 16, pueden registrarse las personas de 80 años y más. A partir del jueves 18 pueden hacerlos las de 75 años y más. A partir del martes 23, las que tengan entre 70 y 74 años. Y el día 25, las que se hayan vacunado con AstraZeneca. Consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Click Santé, en francés o en inglés. En tanto a publicaciones, la edición inglesa del libro Presencia Chilena en la Belle Provence, Chilean Presence en la Belle Provence, escrito por Sergio Martínez y Roberto Hervas, ya está a la venta en librería Argos, en el 1841A, St. Catherine Oeste, y en la librería Paragraph, 2220 McGill College Avenue. Precio $10 más impuesto. The book Chilean Presence in la Belle Provence, English version of the book Presencia Chilena en la Belle Provence, written by Sergio Martínez and Roberto Hervas, is already on sale at Argos Bookstore, located at 1841A St. Catherine West and Paragraph Bookstore on 2220 McGill College Avenue. Price $10 plus tax. L'édition française du livre Présence chilienne dans la Belle Provence est maintenant disponible à la librairie de l'Université de Montréal, 3200 Jean Briand, à la librairie Bertrand, 430 Saint-Pierre, Vieux-Montréal, et en ligne sur Renaud Brun. Prix $10 plus tax. El tiempo para hoy, según Environment Canada, la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá, nublado con una temperatura máxima de 7 grados. Para esta noche, posibilidades de chubascos con una mínima de 3 grados. Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, comuníquese con nosotros a Latin Time, a nuestra dirección electrónica laplaza.info@gmail.com. O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime y de paso denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook. Y Tiempo Latino es escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del Internet. Entre al sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección, www.ckut.ca. Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario, simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado y presionando Latin Time. Tengan todos ustedes un muy feliz domingo. Have a happy Sunday.
Te digo lo que fuiste, una ingrata con mi pobre.
cosas raras de la vida. Sin el beso de tu boca yo me vi.
Amor de mis amores, si dejaste de quererme, no hay cuidado que la gente de eso no se enterará.
¿Qué gano con decir que otra mujer
fue como un canto de mar. ¿Cómo pude llegar a pensar que solo existes tú? Un encanto de mar, una brisa que me arrastró, desapareció y solo eras tú. Tu amor y yo, tu amor se fue como un canto de azul. ¿Cómo pudo llegar a pasar que solo existas tú? Solo un rayo del sol deslumbrado en la oscuridad, dejé pasar la luz y me cegó. Tu amor quedó.
colores de mi risa, si no soportas mi llanto. Somos tantas cosas, tómalo todo, nada. No te enamores de mi dulzura, también soy amarga. Somos tantas cosas, tómalo todo, nada. Yo amo tu silencio y me enamora tu voz. Tú, mi dicha y mi tormenta, quiero vivir con las dos. No te enamores de mi suavidad, si te asusta mi fuerza. Somos tantas cosas, tómalo todo. Nada. No te enamores de mi fuerza, también soy fragilidad. Somos tantas cosas, tómalo todo, nada. Yo
Esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
This is Janice of Dorval. The International Radio Report presents 30 minutes of news, information, and commentary on developments in the world of radio every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Welcome, everyone, to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It is Sunday, November the 21st, 2021. We thank you for joining us. My name's Sheldon. Jill is with me, as usual. And we thank you for tuning in. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com, for any questions or comments about the show. Live streaming and archived at ckut.ca. Our Facebook group, International Radio Report, continues to grow. We welcome Fumaki, Mike, Richard, Russell, Andy, and Mark all joining us this week. It brings us up to 655 members. And our YouTube channel jumped up a little bit as well. If you want to listen to the show after it airs on YouTube, it's youtube.com/International Radio Report. 511 subscribers as we record today. And today is special. Today, if you saw on the Facebook posting, we put up a little notice about it. It is the 34th anniversary of the International Radio Report, which coincides with the 34th anniversary of CKUT-FM in Montreal. And so it's happy birthday to us.
Absolutely.
I wonder how many people might be out there who were around for that very first show 34 years ago. A little bit of background to it. The show began when CKUT got its broadcast license. Up until then, they were running on something that anybody that maybe has been involved in college radio or whatever may have run programming on what was called carrier current. It was basically a closed circuit broadcast that was channeled through a wired system through the campus of a university or a college or what have you. And that's what I can't remember what the call letters were in the university. But some creative people got together, filed an application with the CRTC for an FM frequency, and lo and behold, they were granted 90.3 in Montreal. So they did some tests. We actually did one or two test broadcasts before the station actually went live. And there were some technical tests that CKUT had to undergo as well for engineering purposes and whatever. But we were actually airing on Thursday afternoons when the station started. 2:30 in the afternoon was the time for the show. We'd gone in and done a couple shows that weren't live. Like, we were live in the studio, but they weren't going out over the air. They were just sort of a trial run. And that third time we went in to record to do another one of these tests. And just before we went on the air, the studio door opened and the station manager, who was Susan Elrington at the time, said to us, "By the way, you're live today." And so we were actually one of the first shows to go on the air back in November of 1987. So we started with myself, Bill Westenhaver, and another gentleman named Richard Cazavant. It was funny, when the station was put out a call for programming, they wanted to go right away, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So they needed a lot of programs to put on the air. So they put out a call. "You've got a proposal for a program. You'd like to be on the radio. Send it to us, and we'll see what we can do." I don't know how I found out about it, but I wrote a proposal, sent it in, and want to do this show, 30 minutes talking about shortwave radio and DXing and all this sort of stuff. Susan Elrington, the manager, called me up and she said, "Could you pop in and see me? I'd like to talk to you." So I went down to see them, and she said to me, "This is really interesting what you're proposing." She said, "I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about, but if you want to do it, go ahead. 2:30, we've got a half hour on Thursday afternoons. Does that suit you?" I said, "Fine, we'll take it." So that's how the whole thing got started. So it was kind of fun. Richard dropped out of the show fairly quickly, actually. It just didn't kind of fit, and he decided to step away. So Bill and I carried on. We eventually moved it to the Sunday morning time slot that you're familiar with already, 10:30 a.m. Eastern. Bill stuck around until March 21st of 2004, so pretty good run from 87 to 2004. And he left, and I was kind of there wondering, okay, what do I do now? We were thinking about wrapping up the show. Two of our, well, one in particular, Janice, one of our CIDX members, came to me and she said, you can't do that. You can't stop the show. It has to keep going. So her and her husband at the time, Steve, stepped in and said, you know, we'd like to take it over. So I said, hey, that's fine. You know, I'm going to take a break. So I stayed with them for a couple weeks and then turned it over and I just stepped away. I didn't know how long it would be. I didn't know if I'd come back. And believe it or not, that happened in April of 2004. And I didn't come back until 2009. So Steve and Janice did that show until that period. So then we went through some more changes. I returned and Janice had to leave on work to go overseas. I did the show with Steve for a while. Janice came back, Steve left. And then 2012, David, who some of you may have heard on the show before, joined the show. And that went on for quite some time. And then, Jill, you came into the picture.
Yeah, I was invited at the 30th anniversary of the show and of CKUT. And, that kind of sparked a little something because, first of all, it was fun to be there. I had been listening to the show since, the early 90s, probably. I'm not exactly sure how I found out about the show. Chances are maybe I've read about it in The Messenger or heard about it somewhere. But I tuned the band so much that I could have just accidentally came on CKUT and was like, oh, look at that, a show about radio. Yeah. I don't remember how it started, but I know it started in the early 90s. When I heard the first show, you were with Bill Westernhaver. So at the 30th anniversary, of course, I got an invitation to be there. What stuck in my mind is when I got out of the studio and you look at me and said, well, you know, you're free to join in whenever you want. And I thought, okay, that's kind of interesting because I remember back in the 90s listening to the show and thinking, oh, this is so cool. It must be fun to have a show or be on a show like this. And little did I know that someday I would. Of course, after that, a few weeks later, I started being regular on the show. And, you know, we continued. Major shift that happened that we didn't know exactly at first what to do is when COVID actually closed the studios. Our last studio show was on March 15th, 2020. And at that time, I remember we walked out and we just didn't know what is going to happen here. Are we going to take a break? And, you know, taking a break is not a good idea most of the time for a radio show like this, because taking a break almost always means, well, that's the end.
Yeah, it doesn't come back after that.
It rarely does. And so I, for some reason, couldn't, you know, I didn't have any skills of recording, of editing. And the first thing I thought is, okay, I know pretty much nothing about all of this. And I can't accept the fact that the show would just be off and it's over. And I remember coming back home and one of the first things I did on that Sunday was like, okay, how could a show be recorded with the equipment I have, basically no audio console, no nothing, just computers. We could do it over the air. How will I record that? And what software would I need? And we did our first recording that week because I said, look, we're going to try this. And the first one was a little painful. We took a few hours to do the show. We actually tried in the afternoon, and then it's like, you know what? Let me work on the little bugs, and we're going to come back later this evening and do it again. I'll be working on whatever is wrong. And then I invested in a little bit of equipment, you know, a sound console. And, well, here we are today, still here, because I think it was important. For me, it was important, and I think it was important for the show to continue being something that a lot of people are enjoying. So this is fun, and I'm happy to be here and happy to be here every week, honestly.
Yeah, we look at it now, and, you know, it's been, as you said, since March 2020, and we're now into November of 2021, and, you know, there's no sign of the radio station actually opening up fully again at this point. The system now is set up that we can get the show into the CKUT computer directly. It's a simple process to get it there now. You know, for those that don't know, I mean, prior to all of this, we had to do traveling to get to the show every Sunday morning. I mean, we're spending more time on the road home and, you know, from home to the station and back again. You, in your case, public transportation, me driving from off the island into Montreal in the winter months. It was a nightmare sometimes. Yeah. But I have one thing to say. Since 1987, November, when the show started, to today, the only times when there wasn't an International Radio Report show on CKUT was when we were preempted for special programming. We have always had somebody there, or in a very rare occasion, we had a pre-recorded show. But I don't think there's many people that can say that they were there, you know, all the time. There's only one or two other shows that have been at CKUT since day one. One is Positive Vibes, a reggae show, and I think there's one other maybe. But you know, that's a pretty good run of 34 years, and you know, not missing any shows.
Really good.
I think the station appreciates that too. That it's we're dependable and they can count on us being there. So you know, that's really important. We want to take a couple minutes just to read some comments, some nice comments that have come into us about the 34th anniversary. Sergio Martinez, who some of you may know as host of Latin Time just before us on the station, he sends congratulations on the great longevity of your show. We at Latin Time turned 32 years old this year, so they're 2 years younger than we are. Nick Sharp writes and says, many congratulations on reaching this milestone. Maybe a photo of the computer at CKUT where your program is uploaded is possible. I might have that somewhere, but we haven't been inside the studio, so we can't go and get one now, that's for sure. Art Dodd, just a congratulations. Paul Walker says, I'd be happy to be a co-host sometime if you need a fill-in one day. I can do it via Zoom or Skype audio. Yimber Gaviria says, congratulations. Mike Terry, congratulations on over 3 decades of your wonderful program. I think you had another one.
Yeah, there's David, KJ4CMY, and the YouTube channel says, this half-hour report goes so quickly. Why? It is fascinating. Thank you both for your devotion to this report.
Well, that's nice to hear from all of those people. And, you know, the people that take the time to post up material on Facebook, contact us, whatever way. It's good to know there are people out there listening. And, you know, during funding drive as well, every year, we always get great support from our listeners. So we do appreciate that. And as I said, you know, you usually don't get pats on the back. You get complaints from people about things if you do something wrong. So it's nice sometimes to get a bit of encouragement and appreciation. So we thank everybody for that. Speaking of thank yous, CKUT is thanking someone, and they are thanking the McGill University undergrads. And this comes from their webpage and Twitter account. A major part of CKUT's funding each year comes from a portion of the McGill University student tuition fees. Referendums are held periodically to ask students if they support the continuation of a portion of fees to finance CKUT radio. The result of the votes were held last week, and this is the results that came in. Those who voted in favor, 2,283. Those who were against it, 1,127. So 67% in favor, 33% against. So the vote passes, and the funding source for CKUT through the student fees continues for the next period. So that's good news. From their Twitter account, they say, thank you, McGill undergrads, for voting yes for CKUT. Our question passed with the majority vote last night, meaning that CKUT will continue to receive the student fees that keep the lights on and the station alive. Mega thank you to our student campaign committee.
I think that's wonderful that, you know, we always worry, we always wonder if radio has a reach for younger generations and people that are, you know, in college and universities. Well, it seems that it still is important because 67% is not bad. And it's nice to see that CKUT is going to be here, and hopefully for a long time.
At least for the next few years, until the next referendum, we'll see what happens. But yeah, support is obviously necessary, both from the students at McGill University and also from the listeners out there and the general public as well when funding drive comes up every year.
So we have some news. One is about a special event, a Canadian special event amateur station, call sign Charlie Fox 3, Bravo Papa. And this is via the Southgate Amateur Radio News. Look for special event station CF3BP from York Region, north of Toronto, active from November 13th to December 12th, operated by members of the York Region Amateur Radio Club. The activity is to mark the anniversary of the first transatlantic amateur radio transmission from Canada by Edward Rogers Sr. from Pickering College on Main Street in Newmarket, Ontario, using call 3BP. He was one of the few amateurs to successfully transmit across the Atlantic and the only Canadian to succeed using a 500-watt spark gap transmitter. The ARRL sent Paul Foreman Godley, 3ZE, who was an expert in receiver technology, to the British Isles to carry out the tests. The tests proved that shorter wavelengths could be used over long distances and with much lower power than I thought possible. Club members will be operating various bands and modes during the event using the CF3BP call. A schedule will be available at the www.yrarc.org website, in addition to self-spotting. A Parks on the Air operation is also planned, weather permitting. Commemorative QSL card is being designed for anyone who contacts one of the stations. Further information will be on the website. Logs will also be uploaded to the LOTW and EQSL and QRZ.com. So this is from Chris Sullivan, President, York Region Amateur Radio Club. So this is pretty cool. Nice to have this type of activity. I didn't even know that there would be such a thing. So it's going to be nice to try to get the station, the call sign once again, Charlie Fox 3, Bravo Papa.
Yeah, and they've been operating already since November the 13th. So they're already out there.
Yep.
And you may want to tune around, see if you can find them. Check some of the spotting nets as well for special event stations like that.
Absolutely. So what's happening with our son? Well, our son was kind of quiet, but there was a fast solar wind pretty much throughout the week. So many days we had some activity, some geomagnetic activity that was unsettled conditions. And it subsided a little bit, but we're going to have another brush with that solar wind as a solar wind stream is going to arrive either today, November 21st, or tomorrow, November 22nd. And that could, of course, have some impact in the geomagnetic activity, sparking auroras and maybe unsettled conditions once again. Solar flux hovered in the lower 80s pretty much all week. We have two sunspot groups as we're recording the show. And hopefully conditions will remain interesting for propagation. We can pretty much say that now as we are getting into the end of November, that we are in what we usually call winter propagation, pretty much in shortwave propagation. So longer nights, good for medium wave DXing, and pretty interesting afternoons also. If you live in the northern hemisphere, you know, sun sets quite early now. Afternoons, lots of European signals to listen to, 31, 25 meter band that are interesting in there. So check it out, and the best way to do that, of course, is to turn on a radio and listen.
This is Glenn Hauser. On the air since 1987, you're tuned to the International Radio Report, 30 minutes of radio about radio, every Sunday morning on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, and live streaming around the globe at ckut.ca.
So our next story is talking about spoken word programming. we fall into that category.
Yes.
And this is a report appearing in Radio World by Tom Vernon. The headline, Spoken Word Listenership Increases 40% Since 2014. How much has spoken word share of audio listening grown in the past 12 months? The short answer, a lot. For the third year, NPR and Edison Research have joined forces to produce the Spoken Word Audio Report. The results were presented at a November 11th webinar by Lamar Johnson, Vice President of Sponsorship Marketing at NPR, and Megan Lazovic, Vice President at Edison Research. The survey defines spoken word audio as anything other than music, examples, news, sports, talk personalities, audiobooks. According to the research, of the 40% growth in spoken word listening over the past 7 years cited by the survey, 8% took place in the last 12 months. That translates to 22 million more people listening to spoken word than 8 years ago. While music is still the overwhelming content of choice, the research suggests that spoken word is steadily chipping away at that lead. In 2014, music commanded 80% of listenership and spoken word got 20%. In 2021, those numbers shifted to 28% for spoken word and 72% for music. No matter how you break it down, the report claims that the share of time spent listening from 2014 to 2021 has increased across the board. When tracked by gender, men showed an increase from 26 to 32%, up 23%. One of the big surprises of this report was the increase among women from 14 to 24%, an impressive 71% jump. Not surprisingly, the youngest demographic showed the highest increase. Those in the 13 to 34 bracket had a gain of 116%, according to the report. Those aged 35 to 54 saw a 36% jump from 22 to 30%, while the 55-plus demographic went up from 26 to 28%, and that is an 8% uptick. According to NPR Edison report, multicultural listeners are a key driving force in the expansion of spoken word audio. Those identifying as white slash other saw a 26% increase from 23 to 29%, while the African American listenership increased 12 to 22%, up 83%. The Hispanic Latino population listening to spoken word went up from 15 to 27%, an 80% jump. Now, this doesn't specifically isolate radio. They're talking basically any sort of spoken word. So there's many different ways to get access. Now, podcasts, would that classify, I would guess?
I would guess, yes.
For spoken word, you know, lots of different ways to get to different sources of information. I'm sure the talk radio, though, is something that's still quite popular. Over that period of time, we had elections in the United States, which drove talk radio stations crazy. You know, lots of things have been going on news-wise around the world, which, you know, seem to attract people to radio. We see the big all-news radio stations, particularly things like WCBS in New York, that have gigantic listenerships out there. So I guess it's not really surprising. It is extremely surprising, though, the high percentages in certain categories.
I think, you know, my personal impression of this, because when we look at the ratings, for example, our local ratings, what stations are on the top? They're pretty much all the talk stations. People want to listen to information, want to have news, want to have any type of spoken word show that is interesting. So I would tend to think that even though, you know, we know that there's a majority of stations on the radio are music stations for the most part. But I would think that in 2021, since we have all of this, these options of listening to different ways of our media, the internet and podcast and streaming media and radio, I would think more people listen to radio for spoken word programs, and more people would listen to or stream over internet for music. I think that would probably be something that is close to reality, in my personal opinion. I don't listen to spoken word personally a lot over the internet. I might, you know, like BBC World Service, stuff like that. But I use the internet more for streaming the music I want to hear. And I turn on the radio for the programming I want to listen to. And a great example, I will turn on my HD radio for WVPS NPR station in Vermont to listen to programs from there. Mm-hmm. I'll turn it on also to listen to the BBC stream they have there.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. When it comes to music, everybody's got their personal tastes, and we have the tools available to just pull what we want to listen to when we want to listen to it. Whereas on radio, you sort of have to take whatever they've programmed for you to listen to. So with talk radio, though, you want to maybe get more information. You want to get opinions. You want to hear two sides of a story. So you may go to spoken word audio to get that, as opposed to just sort of preparing your own musical choices when it comes to streaming music or creating, you know, your own playlists or what have you.
Yeah, that's an interesting side of radio and of everything we have in technology today. But I think, you know, it's normal that spoken word is important. We all want to have some information. And I think with the pandemic, we wanted even more information. What is happening? We needed that information, and it increased the listenership for sure. So there is some upcoming ham radio contest.
Yeah, we often have a lot of different events going on the weekends for you, for ham radio. This week, though, only one major worldwide contest coming up, and that is the CQ Worldwide DX contest. This time, it's the CW version of it. It's 0-100 Zulu November 27th to 23-59 Zulu November 28th, sponsored by CQ. The objective is for amateurs around the world to contact as many other amateurs in as many CQ zones and countries as possible. It'll be six bands, 1.8, 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz, and they encourage observance of the established band plans, particularly with CW, because it can get really crazy and really hectic. The mode, of course, is CW only for this particular contest. And you can find all the details at cqww.com/rules.htm. And there are a lot of rules. I was reading through them, and it's there's all kinds of categories and all sorts of rules and regulations and, you know, courtesy on the bands. Because even if you don't know CW, next weekend, tune across the ham bands, and you're going to hear just craziness going on.
And if you have an SDR, look at the bottom part of all the ham bands. You're going to see this crazy amount of signals.
So that is going to do it for us. 34 years. It's hard to believe. I can remember walking into that and doing that first show, and there's no way I can imagine it in my head that it was 34 years ago. It's just unbelievable. I want to thank everybody over the years that's been a part of the show and contributed. Jill, you've been responsible for bringing a lot of new listeners to us as well with your YouTube shows. It's always interesting to see brand new people getting into what we do and learning about international broadcasting, and amateur radio, and all these other kinds of radio that, you know, you maybe were not used to before. So if we've succeeded in anything, that might be it, that we've introduced a lot of people to what all this weird and wonderful world of radio is all about. Yeah. You know, for some people, hopefully they've learned some stuff over the 34 years as well. If you're a listener that's been out there since the beginning, let us know. Drop us a note.
Absolutely.
Email radioreport@yahoo.com or post it up on our Facebook or what have you. And we'd love to hear from you. So that'll do it. We will be back again next Sunday with the next edition of the International Radio Report. Thank you for listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
If you have flu-like or COVID-19-like symptoms, such as fever, cough, loss of taste or smell, or if you have been in contact with someone infected with the virus, It's essential to get tested and to follow isolation instructions, even if you're vaccinated. Screening remains one of the best ways to limit outbreaks. To find out more, visit quebec.ca/test-covid-19. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.